Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Wolves podcast for July 1st. The Wolves are in hot pursuit of Paul Millsap, and there's a lot of other free agency action, too. I'm Tom Schreier, co-founder of ZoneCoverage.com, and with me on the phone is Colton Molesky. Colton, where do we start? There's a lot going on right now.
First of all, I think you and I probably could have put something together to play for Paul George. Are you kidding me? Come on. Oladipo and Sabonis, that's what Indiana got with them? That's what they're okay with?
I wonder why these moves are going through, because the first reaction to the Butler trade was that the Bulls just got railroaded, right? By a former employee.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This case, I mean, we ended the last podcast, if I remember right, with you basically saying, I think Paul George is going to stay in Indianapolis. So you don't like the trade at all.
I really don't. And there's a lot of reasons why, but the foremost reason is because the Cavs and there was a couple other teams, LA was another team. I think Miami was in the mix as well for Paul George, but there was a few teams that were willing to give up an arm and a leg, essentially, for this guy. And the Cavs were willing to sell away any other pick that they could have in this century left, along with Love, to give to Paul George. LA, I'm sure, was – I think they were willing to give up a bunch of picks, along with Russell, and I think Julius Randle, I believe, was in the mix as well. So a bunch of up-and-coming studs, whereas – in this deal that they just finished trading Paul George for Oladipo again and Sabonis. I mean, Oladipo is he going to be an all-star talent? And Sabonis, even if he is, he's not going to hit for at least 2-3 years. And so it looks like they really got fleeced on this one.
So a couple of thoughts here. Oladipo went to Indiana, right?
Yep.
So I kind of wonder if this is it would make sense in his, you know, from his perspective, that he would want to go back there. Now he's from Maryland, it looks like, but
he played for Indiana here.
Yeah. So, and the other question is if Paul George just really wants to play with Russell Westbrook, and if that factored in. Otherwise, I mean, the impression I'm with you. The impression I got was that he wanted to go back to LA, where he's from, and I heard reports that the Celtics were willing to trade 3 picks. I think it was Jay Crowder, who I'm not thrilled with, but and another starter for Paul George. So I'm with you. I'm a little perplexed. I mean, how much do you think just kind of the logistics of it in terms of, I mean, do you think Paul George just really wants to play with Russell Westbrook?
Well, that's the other thing, too, is all the stuff he said about wanting to win and wanting to be on an organization that really cared about winning and really was trying to go out and get pieces. And now he's on a team that, obviously, Russell Westbrook, reigning MVP from last season, but it's a team that's going to be fighting for a playoff spot here. I mean, are we even sure that the Thunder can push through to the playoffs again this year?
I always wonder. We always talk about how kind of the NBA has just gotten better. You know, with Allen Iverson mm-hmm. with the Sixers was kind of like Westbrook in the Thunder. And obviously that was a team that got to the finals before they lost. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Western Conference is starting to look interesting. We'll get in how to kind of the Wolves fit in there. But I'm with you. And I mean, this is a big deal, obviously, for Wolves fans, given that you'll be able to see this team as a divisional opponent, you know, throughout the season. I think the Thunder are a playoff team. I'm surprised that's the destination. I mean, do you think there's another move in mind? I feel like everything's in play. Everything's up in the air right now.
The problem is that now the move for them is, okay, you have your defense figured out. sort of around Paul George, Andre Roberson, and Steven Adams, right?
Yeah.
But now if you go out and get a shooter like Kyle Lowry, is he going to have an impact if Russell Westbrook's shooting 30 times a night, 28 times a night? Any shooter that you go out to try and pad your offense, now that it looks like you kind of have the defensive side figured out, might just be neutralized by Russell Westbrook.
Well, and that's what I was wondering is, like, you know, I was talking about this with a few friends of mine who are big NBA fans, and the conclusion we kind of reached was, does Paul George really want to play on this team where you have a ball dominant player? And he's a great complimentary part, but Westbrook doesn't even seem to really want complimentary parts, especially on the offensive side. I'm very confused. I think Oklahoma City has to realize they messed up. You know, obviously you had Harden, Durant, Westbrook, and you got to keep one of those three now. I don't know. I wonder if this is something they're going to give a trial run if it doesn't work out. I mean, both those players want to be in LA too. The future of this is interesting, not just if they win in Oklahoma City, but kind of, you know, how does everything else shake out with these two guys?
Yeah. Well, and the consensus, I think the consensus generally held by most NBA viewers is you've got to have three studs, right? You've got to have three studs to even try and win a championship, right?
Sure.
So if you have two guys already who are very accustomed to having the ball in their hands in a tie game with the shot clock running down, and they're the guys who want to take that shot, there's already two of those guys on the team. How are you going to get a shooter on the team as well? Which is really what they need. They really need something on offense, because Paul George as a defensive move is solid, but his production on offense, I haven't looked at a ton of stats, but I'm fairly certain his offensive production has declined a few points every season over the last three seasons.
And who knows?
You need an offensive piece.
Now, part of it may be that just Indiana got worse over time. But, that's a really, really perplexing, interesting move. Wolves fans will be watching it closely just because that's a divisional opponent. Anything else stick out to you before we get into Millsap?
Yes, I really like the Warriors signing Curry for 5 years, really locking him into the 5-year $201 million. I love how they had $201 million, not just $200 million.
How do you think that was negotiated? Like, Curry and his agent are sitting there, and he's like, okay, we'll give you $200 million. And he's like, I want $201.
I'm not going to take the first deal. I'm not going to take it. $200 million, $201, done.
It's over. Yeah, I'm very curious. I mean, Curry went – I'm also curious about the implications for the Warriors. Curry went from being one of the most, if not the most, affordable player in the NBA to all of a sudden getting what he deserves. And I'm just curious. I assume the ownership there is willing to go well above the salary cap.
Yeah, you just eat it on the luxury tax for the next couple of years, right?
Yeah, and it makes sense. I mean, I think they're getting a new arena, and obviously it's a very prosperous area where people are going to throw down. Mm-hmm. But the thing we know about sports is there's no certainties. Everyone who's saying can't be Golden State, it's their league for the next 5 years. Now they have some cap restraints. They're dealing with human beings that get hurt or get cold or fight with each other in a locker room. And if that was really the case, it's funny. Does it seem to you with all these free agency moves, it seems like players are actually avoiding LeBron more than they're avoiding the Warriors.
Well, and that's the other thing. I talk about this too in an article I should have coming out pretty soon here on everything that's happened in free agency. You can check that on Zone Coverage. Obviously, the place you should go first if you're reading any sports stories.
Right.
You want to check that out, that place out first. But that was one of the things that I think was probably the biggest takeaway I've noticed in the free agency so far, is that the Warriors have re-signed Curry. They got David West to come back on a veterans minimum deal, stumbling over my words here, and they have Sean Livingston coming back on a 3-year, $24 million deal. Can you name one thing the Cavs have done in the free agency period?
Part of it, too, is like if there was any motion for Paul George to go to the Cavaliers, it had to be stifled when they fired their GM. I mean, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're LeBron James, you're at a point in your career, you're in control of your destiny, you're on the wrong side of 30, and it's hard to kind of like imagine that fully because he's been healthy. He takes care of himself and has been the most dominant player in the NBA. I mean, it seems like literally since he stepped on the court.
Yeah.
But I'll have to get Chris from Cleveland, my buddy, on soon to talk about it. But we've texted back and forth. And I hope people in Cleveland think like he does. You know, they won their championship, and then they just have to admit their organization is poorly run. Like, it just is. It just
the
is.
The office is it seems to be a mess. Because here's the other thing, too. If you're every other team in the league right now, and you're looking at OKC able to get Paul George for the pieces that they got, and then you're looking at the Cavs and you're thinking they couldn't pull this together, and they brought in three other teams to try and make this deal happen, and they still couldn't pull it off, and they're moving all kinds of pieces, and there was talks of them having three team deals, and they're putting Love and all kinds of pieces into the mix to try and get Paul George, and they couldn't get this deal through. Is that just because their front office is a mess because of the firing, or is their front office just bad anyways? How are they going to make any moves during this next season? Because what if an injury happens? How are they going to make a move if they can't make any moves during the summer? How are they going to make a move during the season when players are getting injured, when the pickings are thinner? I mean, this is really concerning if you're a Cavaliers fan.
Yeah, on one hand, I was very happy to see Cleveland win something. I always talk to Chris about this and anyone else I've met from Cleveland. I feel some kinship. Even though it's hard to say, like, I'm not really like a fan anymore, I still feel the pain of just like bad teams, not bad teams, teams that break your heart in the Twin Cities. But at the same time, it's like, look, the Warriors are well run. Now I'm curious where they go from here. I also like that there's just an arms race in the West, and it also confuses me. I mean, I know those are three kind of distinct thoughts, but I think they all hold water on their own. I mean, it's just. You learn what Timberwolves fans don't need this lesson. They were poorly run. You know what I mean? The con thing became a running joke. And you see what happens. Now, I don't want to squeeze out any other NBA talk. If there's anything else you want to do, just jump in. But you look at what Tibbs is doing. He's having his way because he has the power. And because someone, you know, Glenn Taylor and it just seems like the entire organization is just saying, hey, run wild, man. This is your time.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, that the Warriors, I think if you're the Golden State front office, you just got to depend on is you pay what you have to pay for those four guys, for Draymond, Durant.
Yeah, and everyone else just fills in behind them.
And then guys like David West, guys who just want a ring, who are going to fill out the bench, are going to come to your team and play for cheap to be around this roster. And I think you're going to see that kind of thing. And now, transitioning over to the Wolves and Millsap, I think you might start to see that, maybe not this year, but over the next couple of years, guys want to play around Butler and Wiggins and Towns. And so it'll be interesting to see what kind of deal they get him on, because he is 32, like we've mentioned a bunch of times already on this podcast. But if they can get older guys who are still really good. Millsap averaged 18 points a game last year.
Right.
If they can get really good players to play for cheap around this young nucleus that they have, this could be a really interesting team to maybe make a run and maybe make some noise in the playoffs.
I agree. I think it's a league where, first of all, the premier organizations, the difference between the Wolves and, let's say, the Lakers, just to use a really stark contrast, in Minnesota, we think it's 15th largest TV market, cold weather. I think if you look around the league, especially as it's become a players league, especially as it's become more competitive, and especially because there's more money than ever in professional basketball. To me, it's for years, the Lakers got those guys. Gary Payton ended up there, Karl Malone. They got kind of these guys where you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. He did a stint there. I mean, you could even argue Steve Nash, right, at the end of his career. And kind of piggybacking off that idea and kind of what you expressed earlier, if you have a core three and now the Wolves do, it's the same thing with the Warriors. Who doesn't want to live in the Bay Area as a wealthy professional athlete? Who doesn't want to play for that organization? They look, coming out and saying we're light years ahead of everyone, it's like, well, okay. Part of it is you got lucky that Curry's ankles were kind of messed up. Part of it is you got lucky that the cap went up the year that Kevin Durant was available. You know what I mean? They caught a couple breaks here. It's not entirely intelligence. But you compare the Warriors and the Cavaliers, it is not a Cleveland-Oakland thing or a Cleveland-San Francisco-Bay Area thing. It's simply one's well-run and one's not. The Spurs, look, San Antonio, I think, is a bigger city than people realize. But for years, they've been able to win in the city that you – if you drop someone in from Mars and they knew anything about Texas, they'd assume the Dallas team was the best one, right? Because it's the most premier city. Or the Houston one. So I think location gets a little overblown with all this. I think we're just learning that – for a while, it used to, I think, just kind of be market size. It was a little bit like baseball. And then you had disruptors like the A's. And I would say Houston's kind of like the A's of the NBA with Daryl Morey and kind of the Morey ball and all this. And I think we're just finding that smart organizations will win. And what you have to hope is Tibbs just has all his ducks in a row. It seems like he came in with a plan, said, look, I got to sit out one season where salaries are flying. And I don't want a Mozgov or even his guy Lou Alden. He doesn't want these bad contracts on the books. Because people are complaining about the Cole Aldrich deal. First of all, he's a local. Like, if anything, you would think he'd cut him a little slack. But beyond that, maybe that's just the Minnesota guy in me. But beyond that, it is a $22 million deal. You know what I mean? In the NBA today, that's nothing.
No. Well, and getting back to what you're saying about the disadvantage that people thought that small market teams had, or they did have a disadvantage, but now that's almost neutralized. I think the shoe deals are a big part of that too.
Sure.
Where there's so many of these athletes who now they're getting their shoe deal, and it really, maybe it didn't start, but one of the big ones was Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City getting the big Nike shoe contract.
Andrew Wiggins got one before anyone knew he was, not anyone, but like before he was really a pro.
Yeah, and I think that has a big part of it too, that just these guys' faces are everywhere promoting these shoe deals and the NBA. And so if you're in Minnesota, Oklahoma, your brand is going to get out there no matter what. And the small market doesn't have as much of a factor. And it's like you're saying, the really good front offices, the really smart coaches and coaching staffs, and the really smart GMs, they're going to get players there because the players know that they can get paid and can get recognition and get their name and brand out there no matter where they are now. They don't have to be in L.A. or in Chicago or in Boston to do that. They can be in a small market team, and they can have just as big a brand.
Yeah, and I really think that we're even getting away from locations. I mean, I think here in Minnesota, there certainly is a lot of loyalty to the Wolves. And even kind of nationally, there's a lot of Kevin Garnett fans who maybe at least have kept an eye on the Wolves for years. But I think generally speaking, I just know this is anecdotal, but I think it's kind of played out that there's just LeBron fans and there's Durant fans and there's, you know, fans of Dirk fans, for example, and they don't necessarily live in the region that player plays. I agree. I wrote this just early on about how Jimmy Butler would influence free agency. And I was like, look, these guys play 41 games on the road. They're going from a heated car to a heated garage. You know, there's a lot of kind
weather
of...
weather is not going to have a factor.
Yeah, these guys aren't walking around outside. They're just not.
LeBron plays in Cleveland. He's got a huge estate in L.A. In LA, so
yeah.
It's not an issue.
No, so obviously, I mean, I think, don't get me wrong, like, I saw Bill Simmons had, I haven't read it yet, but on The Ringer, had like a blow up the Spurs deal, and I heard him talking about it on his podcast, and I think there is some truth that if you're in New York or L.A., look, you could have run the Knicks 100 times better, or really the Nets. Like, people don't, actually, people do talk about how poorly the Nets were run, but that gets washed under. Go ahead.
I want to branch on this for just a second, but the Nets hosed themselves a long time ago in that trade with Boston where everybody thought that Boston was letting Garnett and Pierce go for way too little, but they gave up five first-round picks, and it turned out, because it is true that even in basketball, when it's all about stars and maybe rookies don't have as much potential to really change a team like maybe they do in other leagues, you still do need picks. You still need to be bringing in more fresh talent to help rejuvenate that organization. And so the Nets really hose themselves. You can't take trades like that.
Right. So, but we look at that as more they're willing to spend money and made some bad deals. The Knicks just seem fundamentally kind of rotten at the core.
Yeah.
I say this as someone, sure. I lived there during the Starks-Ewing era. And so, like, I enjoyed Knicks basketball for a while. But, you know, you look at it like the Knicks, the, you know, the Brooklyns, the Clippers, the Lakers. They should always, you know, if they're not doing well, if they're not all in to win, they should always have some cap space open just because someone might go there. It's not hard to think. I mean, I believe I'm trying to remember here because, you know, Butler came in for that press conference at the Mall of America. And I think him and Towns actually flew out immediately to L.A. to go work out. I mean, so all these guys kind of have a connection, you would think, in these bigger markets. I'm not saying it's not an advantage. It is. It's just not everything anymore. And the league is better for it. The league is going to be better. Yeah, you want kind of these villains and whatnot. But it's better if, A, it's a players' league, and, B, if there's a lot of competition. And I think it's getting that way. And I just love that Tibbs is going head first. He is going head first right into into the Western fray. The Millsap
all on this team.
And we got to talk about the Millsap deal. What are the parameters for that contract for you?
I think it can't be longer than 3 years, like Teague's.
I agree.
Especially because he's 32. And I'm trying to think of a reasonable number. I think if you're paying over 60 mil, maybe even 55, I think that might be a little too steep. He had some pretty serious injuries in Utah when he was on the Jazz.
Yeah.
And that kind of held him back from signing a really big contract for that first, 6 years of his career. And then with Atlanta, he was really good, but he never got that big deal. So I think he might be looking for a big contract. And I really, the Wolves are doing so well. You don't want to blow it by overpaying for Millsap and then having to get injured really seriously in year two. Because that is, I think for more than any of the guys that they have signed this summer already, that is the biggest factor for Millsap is he's got to be able to stay healthy. He's had some lower leg issues, so he's got to stay healthy, and he's an older guy. So you've got to be really careful. This has got to be their best move, I think, of the summer is how they handle Millsap.
Do you overpay him even on, like, I feel like the term is more important than the number and the numbers. Is that right?
Yeah, I think what you do is if you give him a big contract, it's got to be. There's got to be some opt-out options. So you've got to protect yourself on the back half of the deal. So maybe you pay close to $70 million, but you have an opt-out contract or opt-out in the contract after the first couple of years.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting kind of quote-unquote chess match. In Utah from age 21 to 27, never an all-star. An all-star the last 4 years with Atlanta. I mean, I understand the desire for him, but it's like you have hit every note right so far. If you're Minnesota, you got Butler on a great trade. You know, you're going to upset some people with the Rubio deal, but as we said on the podcast before, if Jeff Teague pans out, no one's going to talk about that. And beyond that, you know, you signed a 29-year-old player through age 32. That's a very smart deal. This is kind of Tibbs can't lose focus. You know what I mean? He's got to do Tibbs things to kind of whatever he did with Chicago, he's got to kind of do with Millsap. And I got to imagine that's what the talk is about. Now, maybe you heard differently. It sounds like it's kind of down to here in Denver. Have you heard other teams in the mix for him?
No, it sounds like it's here in Denver. It doesn't even sound, it sounds like the Hawks are totally going rebuild mode because I don't even think they made a play to keep him. Have you heard anything about the Hawks trying to retain him?
And if you're Atlanta, I mean, why not? I think you know what? It's a little like a poker game where I think if you're in right now, you start throwing chips, you maybe take out some liquid cash and kind of get that going too. And I think if you're not in, just back out, right? It's kind of one of those things you'd be like, don't sit on, you know, like something you saw early on. I think if you're Atlanta, I think you back out of this. My guess is what Denver is going to tell you is you can make more money and it's a fun place to live and we're trying to turn things around here. And I think if you're Tibbs, you got to stick to your guns on. Denver's going to give you more money. I give you the opportunity to win and you're 31. You know, I mean, like, this is the time to do it. I'm with you. I like the 3-year deal. It's fine if you quote unquote overpay in the sense that, like, the kind of year to year amount. But man, they get Millsap. I mean, they get Millsap. I understand this team was supposed to win 41, 42 games last year. And they won 31. But God, isn't that just a crazy team?
Millsap would be. Well, and here's the other thing that I love about Millsap, too, is Millsap, he, like I said, averaged 18 points, but he also had 7.7 rebounds a game. He will play literally everywhere on the court. He's a really quick power forward, so he can get steals. He's averaged throughout his career about a steal a game. So he's quick around the basketball. He'll get hands on the basketball, but he can also push people around, get rebounds, play off the glass. He's really strong all over the place, and he's so versatile too. I really love the idea of having him, Justin Patton, and Towns on the floor for a really strong front court. Or if you go small, you can have him play the center position and just throw out four guards and just see what happens in fast transition. Because if you play four guards with him at center, he's got so much room to move around in the paint too. He's going to eat up all that glass. And he's going to make some real hay if you're spreading the floor like that as well. So you can do a lot with him. And I think if you get Millsap, that's the versatility that you could have seen if Griffin went to Houston too.
Yeah, first of all, let's talk Griffin real quick, and then so stick a pin in this real quick. Do you like that deal? I mean, it sounds like he was going to go to
that deal. Is so awkward.
It is
so
weird.
Awkward to me.
It's weird.
Like what limbo are the LA Clippers in now? Because I don't even know if, because now they have Griffin, Beverly, Lou Williams, DeAndre Jordan, Austin Rivers, Crawford. Like, does this sound like a playoff roster to you?
No, I'm trying to think of another team, but it just sounds discombobulated. It sounds bloated is what it sounds like.
It sounds like last year's Denver team where they're trying to figure out where they are and they're kind of young. So they look really off in a few games, but they look really fun to watch in some games. And I feel like that's going to be the Clippers this year, is that just that some games Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley are going to hit all their shots and Griffin is going to go off for 40 points, and some games they're going to be fighting on the bench. There's a real potential for this to be reminiscent of the 2015-16 Rockets with the last year Dwight Howard was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some games where they're just dropping 120 points on a team, and you've got other teams where players are trying to punch each other and leaving the floor early to head to the locker room. Like, this could be a real up and down season for Clippers fans.
It's kind of what I was saying earlier, that either kind of with Atlanta, you either want to be really good or really bad. I mean, I think that's kind of the deal. Either you know, get ready to push your chips in the middle or back off and wait for the next hand. But I think with the Wolves thing, you got to be careful with this contract too, not just for cap implications that you don't want a guy sitting on your bench just chewing through cap space, but you also, I don't know if Justin Patton will pan out. I bet he spends a lot of time in Iowa with that new Iowa team down there, the G League, whatever. I think they're going to want him to get playing time, and I think they want to see kind of what he looks like against men rather than college kids.
You know, if Alex were on the pod.
I know.
By the way, shout out to Alex.
Alex Berg.
Come on. We need you out here. We need you out here, Alex. If Alex were on the pod, he would be right by my side defending Justin Patton. He might be the number one owner in Justin Patton's stock right now.
Oh, like more than like his family.
Everybody shares.
Like, I think he's trying to get adopted. I think he wants to join the Patton family. He assumes he's going to have like a growth spurt if he joins. But no.
Yeah, I haven't watched every game that Justin Patton played in college. That'll probably be one of my summer projects is to do that and just watch tons of rookie tape. But I did watch a good chunk of his games at the end of the season, especially going to March Madness, knowing that he was going to be one of the one of the freshman centers that everybody was looking at play. And he is just he is so quick in the paint. And I know it's different playing against NBA teams, but he is so quick and nimble for a big guy in the paint, but still able to fight for rebounds. And I think that's something that in a league where it's all going to transition in three-point ball, having a guy who's willing to be fast and playing the paint is really valuable.
No, I agree. So my point more with Millsap is you don't want him to block Patton. If Patton's really
I'm not saying next year.
I'm saying 2-3 years down the line. You don't want him to block Patton because of his salary. So I think the 3-year deal for Millsap is great. If he doesn't accept it, I think sometimes you just got to walk away from the table. Even if you really are one of those teams with the chips all in, don't get hosed on your last deal. You know what I mean? Don't get hosed on your last deal. Do you have any final thoughts before we kind of sign off here?
Well, just to Wolves fans who are getting their hopes up, if Millsap doesn't get signed, guys like Andre Iguodala, George Hill, there's still a lot of free agents out there. There's still a lot of moves to be made. Kyle Lowry still is unsigned. So there's a lot you can do if you're a Wolves fan, and they have a decent amount of cap space, and they're clearly willing to take some flyers on some guys. So there's a lot to be done whether they get Millsap or not.
That makes sense. For Colton Molesky, this is Tom Schreier. This has been the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.